Blog Talk Radio.
Broken, but you see beautiful.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Everybody that's listening on the phone lines, everybody that's listening online, everybody that's listening on the podcast, on iTunes, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on tonight. Fire, and of course, I am your humble host, Property Safety. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining on tonight. The first song I played was Come Just As You Are by Crystal Lewis. The second song is Clean by Natalie Grant. With that being said, let's get right into the word for tonight.
Tonight's foundational text comes from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 5 from the Amplified. The adulterous woman. When Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, he came back into the temple court, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began teaching there. Now the scribes and Pharisees caught in adultery. They made her stand in the center of the court, and they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women to death. So what do you say to do with her? What is your sentence? Imagine it being a hot Friday afternoon. The summer heat is blazing, but you decide to mow the grass. You decide to do some long overdue yard work. You decide to do a little gardening. Sweating, perspiring, and dirty from all you've done, you decide to take a break and get some water. While the water doesn't change your physical appearance, it does temporarily quench your thirst. And you're back at it again, giving it another go before dark. Then when you can no longer work, you come in the house, change your clothes, and eat. Then you get ready for bed. You go to bed, no bath. You just go to bed. The next day is Saturday. So you go out and you do the same thing again. You finish your yard work. You finish your garden. You sweat. You perspire, you get dirty, but still no bad. And because you started out looking clean, you started out looking well rested. You looked the part. You looked okay. You have successfully fooled yourself. And God says that's exactly how we show up in his house on Sunday. Unclean, dirty from all the things we've done last night, last week, over the weekend, etc. To a shame, we just sit there and won't go to the altar and get clean. We won't go to the altar and bathe in God's forgiveness, embrace repentance, and begin the process of some much-needed internal deliverance. Now, when the altar call is made, we just sit there stinking. No, when the altar call is made, we just sit there stinking, afraid to move because they will see us, not realizing in that moment that they, the ones we're so afraid of disappointing, they're struggling and stinking too. Somebody, that one that you're so worried about impressing, that you're so afraid of disappointing, guess what? They're struggling and stinking too. Stinking with our Sunday clothes on, our nice clothes. Nice suit, a nice dress on. We think we are somehow hiding our stench, fooling somebody other than ourselves. But God says, somebody say, but God. God says all we're really doing is playing dress up. Playing dress up tonight's message. You see, lately God has been talking to me about how we like to play dress and how dressing up the body can be very deceiving to the soul. Dressing up the body can be very deceiving to the soul. Remember, the Bible does ask the question, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? What does it benefit or profit a man to gain the whole world with all his pledges and forfeit his soul? Mark 8:36 from the Amplified. Beloved, it's not worth it to gain the whole world, to falsely gain the admiration and respect of people for a season, only to forfeit your soul eternally in the end. Hear me, It's not worth it to falsely gain the admiration and respect of people for a season, only to forfeit your soul eternally in the end. There's just something about getting dressed up every Sunday, about looking good on the outside, and having people compliment us on how we look. There's just something about getting dressed on Sunday on the outside and having people compliment us on how we look that's so deceiving. There's just something about getting dressed up every Sunday that makes us feel better. It makes us feel better. Even though we're struggling, it makes us feel better. Even though we're stinking, it makes us feel better. And God says he's tired of us looking better without actually being better. And God says he's tired of us looking better without actually being better. It's time we dropped our pride. Hear me. It's time we dropped our pride and brought our issues to the altar. Jesus is waiting at the altar. God is waiting for us to stop trying to impress others. God is waiting for us to stop trying to impress others in the church and outside of the church and be more concerned about pleasing him. Side note. This is just a side note, but I got to include this because somebody, you need this part. Side note, if you're at a church where they don't do altar calls or you belong to a church where you don't feel comfortable going to the altar because you will be met there by a man or woman of God asking way too many questions. You will be met there by a man or woman of God asking way too many questions. Somebody, all you need is some quiet time on the altar with God. Somebody, all you need to correct your problems, to correct what you're going through, all you need is some quiet time on the altar with God. You don't always need to be asked 20 questions. Somebody needs to say amen today. You don't always need to be asked 20 questions. Say that for counseling sessions. Pastors, if you listen to me tonight, say that for your counseling session. Say that for counseling session some other time. There's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3:1, NIV. If they can't cover you in prayer in a few brief questions, if they can't cover you in prayer by asking a few brief questions, but they just have to know everything right there in the public setting of the church, before releasing you on the altar, they must know everything. Guess what? You're at the wrong church. Again, there's a time for everything. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth on Prolific Fire. You're at the wrong church. Again, there's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3:1, NIV. You see, God doesn't mind us showing up dirty. He don't mind us showing up dirty and stinking. That's not the point of tonight's message, because God doesn't mind us showing up dirty and stinking with the stench of sin all over us. He just has a problem when we choose to stay that way. He has an even bigger problem with so-called men and women of God who prevent us or block us from his presence. In the words of Jesus to his disciples, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. Matthew 19:14 from the New Living Translation. The kingdom belongs to those of us who will stop being too ashamed. The kingdom belongs to those of us who will stop being too ashamed to humble ourselves and come to him. Contrary, the kingdom of heaven does not belong to a perfect group of people. The kingdom of heaven does not belong to a perfect group of people, but to a people that are perfecting, progressively getting better. You see, somebody, to get better is a progressive work. You can't expect to be better overnight. You can't expect to be perfect, but you can expect to be perfecting, progressively getting better. Because we all have work that needs to be done on ourselves. Jesus said it like this in the Bible. He says, only God is truly good. Only God is truly good. Mark 10:18 from the New Living Translation. Somebody, I don't care how good you think your pastor is. I don't care how good you think your first lady is. That brother or sister that's always there at the church helping others, I don't care how good you think they are. Only God is truly good. Perhaps that person that is always at the church helping others because they, perhaps that person that's always at the church helping others because they need help. Perhaps that's the reason why. Perhaps they're always at the church helping others because they need some help themselves. Have you ever thought about that? Says whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. Nothing different. Whatever a person gives, they will receive the same of the Lord. So this person that you're idolizing, this person that you look up to, this person that you think their relationship with God is perfect and they're perfect and everything is perfect in their world, perhaps the reason they're at church all the time helping others is because they themselves need some help. So as an act of their faith, they decided to pay it forward by helping somebody else. That is Bible. That's Ephesians 6 and 8, New King James. So before you put them on a pedestal, like they're so good, so holy, they struggle sometimes too. They struggle sometimes too. Know their story and not just their cute church testimony. You need to know their story, not just their cute church testimony. You might have heard it. You might have heard that cute little church testimony, but they're a real behind-the-scenes story. That's what you need to hear, that real behind-the-scenes story that has not been edited, but it is what it is. It is what it is. Now let's take a look at tonight's text. In tonight's foundational text, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in the act. Meaning she was caught doing what she was doing. She was caught doing what she was doing. She was caught sleeping with somebody else's husband. And before you prejudge her, you cannot, because somebody listening to me tonight, I can feel you in my spirit. You've done the same or worse, so don't judge her. She was caught sleeping with somebody else's husband. Notice, however, the text doesn't say that when she was caught, she was given the opportunity to clean herself up. Notice the text doesn't say that when she was caught, she was given the opportunity to clean herself up, bathe, and change her clothes before being brought to Jesus. The text doesn't say that. So here she was standing before Jesus, unclean, dirty, and stinking. Adultery was on her. Other sexual habits, / addictions were on her. Low self-esteem was on her. Rejection was on her. Guilt, shame, and fear, it was all on her. And more than likely, she probably had on a pretty dress. To top it all off, more than likely, she probably had on a pretty dress because she had been playing dress up to entice the man or the men she was sleeping with. And so she had to look the part for them. Still standing before Jesus, none of that mattered. Standing before Jesus, none of that mattered. She was brought before him just as she was. She was brought before him just as she was. With her standing there, Jesus addressed most of his comments to the scribes and Pharisees who brought her to him. But when he did say something to her, he said, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She answered, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, sin no more." John 8:10-11, Amplified. Jesus didn't criticize her. He didn't belittle her. He didn't even sentence her the way the scribes and Pharisees thought he might, even though he knew she was guilty. Don't forget that part. Even though he knew she was guilty, what Jesus did was offer her an acquittal on one condition. What he did was offer her an acquittal on one condition. That one condition being, she go and from now on, sin no more. Can you imagine the reaction of people? People other than the scribes and the Pharisees, those who had secretly expected her of such behavior. If you listen closely off distance, you probably could have heard them mumbling and grumbling. Who is he to just let her go like that when everybody around here knows she's guilty? Who is he to just let her go, telling her to go and sin no more? Of course she's going to sin again. Of course she's going to do it again. We all know that she's guilty. That's what she's been known to do. Who is he to just let her go like that? your answer. He's Jesus. That's who he is. The same Jesus that would later go to the cross and everything she had on her when she was brought before him, he took that. He took all of that on himself. He's Jesus, the one and only. The same Jesus that would later go to the cross and everything, this adulterous woman, everything she had on her when she was brought before him, he would take all of that on himself. Somebody that adultery, that sexual habit slash addiction, those sexual habits slash addictions, the low self-esteem, the rejection, the guilt, the shame, the fear, Jesus took all of that on himself to the cross for you. He died for your sins. Whatever your sin is, maybe it's none of the things I just called out. Maybe it's none of those things, but whatever it is, Jesus died for that too. Maybe it's not a sin that you're struggling with tonight, but just something that's heavy on you right now, something you need help releasing. Take it to the altar. You see, I don't believe in this once saved, always saved grace doctrine that's going around. You see, I don't believe that once you get saved, you're always saved. Once saved, always saved going around. Telling somebody once they're saved, they will always be saved is like telling a married person, you're married and you will always be married. Now, come on, we all know that's not realistic. There are too many divorces going around for that to be a realistic statement. We can only pray that a person be married forever when they get married. So telling somebody once saved, you'll always be saved, it's like telling a married person, you're married and you will always be married. You don't have to work on your marriage. You don't have to look, you don't have to ask. Like you don't have to act like you're married. You don't have to carry yourself as though you're married. You can just go out there and do anything, anything and everything you want to do with whoever you want to do it with and expect no consequences for your actions because you're married and you will always be married. Do you not hear how ridiculous that sounds? The same way work is required to sustain a marriage. Hear me real good. The same way work is required to sustain a marriage after the wedding has been paid for. The same way work is required to sustain a marriage after the wedding has been paid for. It takes work to sustain your salvation after Jesus has paid for it. It takes work to sustain your salvation after Jesus has paid for it. Work out your own soul salvation. Philippians 2 and 12. Work it out by feeding yourself a daily diet of the word. Work it out by feeding yourself a daily diet of the word. Work it out in prayer consistently. Work it out in praise and worship. Because you're fooling yourself. Hear me tonight. You're fooling yourself if you think the devil won't try you. You're fooling yourself if you think the devil won't try you. You think you're so saved that you know God so well that the devil won't come for you, that he won't try you and he won't dare try you. You're fooling yourself. If you think the old you can't resurface, you're fooling yourself. If you think you can't fall back into a situation similar to the woman in tonight's text, woman or man, don't fool yourself. The Bible puts it like this. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands firm. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands firm, immune from temptation. Immune to temptation, being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he does not fall into sin and condemnation. Therefore, let the one who thinks he stands firm, immune to temptation, being overconfident and self-righteous, take care that he does not fall into sin and condemnation. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12 from the Amplified. When the Bible says he in Scripture, the female version of he, she is included as well, just for those of you that don't know. Just for those of you that don't know. Yes, Jesus took your sins on himself to the cross and defeated the devil on your behalf. Yes, he did. But here's the thing. The devil doesn't like being defeated. The devil doesn't like being defeated, beat at his own game. So he would try you and he would try me in an area he perceives to be a weakness for us. He will try you and he will try me in an area that he perceives to be a weakness for us. He's a sore loser. So any chance he gets, he will try you. He will try me. Still, the Bible says, no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well. So you will be able to endure it. Somebody, you will be able to endure it without yielding, and we'll overcome temptation with joy. And you will overcome temptation with joy. 1 Corinthians 10:13 from the Amplified. First of all, somebody needs to know that what you're going through is common to human experience. What you're going through is common to human experience. Temptation comes to you because you're human. Temptation comes to you because you're human. Second of all, somebody needs to know that you can resist temptation. Somebody needs to know, don't use it as an excuse just because you're human. Don't use that I'm human as an excuse. Of course you're human, and temptation does come to you because you're human. But you can resist temptation. You don't have to be enticed or overtaken by it. God has already made a way out for you, past tense. Check the scripture. It says that God has already made a way out for you, past tense, and he will always make a way out for you. So when you fail at perfection, and you will, because nobody's perfect, don't just sit there on Sunday morning beating yourself up in God's house. Don't just sit there on Sunday morning beating yourself up in God's house. Don't just sit there feeling disgusted with yourself. Don't just sit there bearing in shame and guilt. Admiring the person next to you, admiring the next person's relationship with God, recalling all the ways that you messed up. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to admire somebody else's relationship with God, all the while you're sitting there recalling all the ways that you've messed up. That devil lied. Somebody hear me. That devil lied. Go to the altar. Go to the altar. Jesus died and took up on himself everything you're dealing with. Jesus died and took up on himself everything, not just some things, everything you're dealing with now. Because of what Jesus did when he died for you on the cross, there is forgiveness already waiting for you on the altar. There is forgiveness already waiting for you on the altar. There is deliverance already waiting for you on the altar. There is healing already waiting for you on the altar. There is release just for you, already waiting for you on the altar. There's mercy. Somebody, there's mercy and grace already waiting for you on the altar because of what Jesus did on the cross. Somebody, what you need is peace. Therefore, there's peace already waiting for you on the altar. I hear this in my spirit. Suicide rate in the church would be down if my people would utilize the altar again. Suicide rate in the church would be down if my people would just utilize the altar again, humble themselves, and get on the altar. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then, God says, then would I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's the power of the altar. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody listening under the sound of my voice, that's the power of the altar. Second Chronicles 7:14, New King James. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Again, that's the power of the altar. Joel 2:17, King James Version. Weeping between the porch and the altar is a mandate for leaders to assemble God's people together. Weeping between the porch and the altar is a mandate for leaders to assemble God's people together for a time of prayer, fasting, and consecration. The porch represents the flesh. The porch represents the flesh, the outer court of worship, whereas the altar represents the spirit. The place of sacrifice, the place of giving up and rededicating one's life back to God. Think about it. If once saved, always saved was a sound doctrine. Think about it. If once saved, always saved was really a sound doctrine, then there would be no need for the altar in the church, because, again, the altar is defined as a place of giving up and rededicating one's life back to God. And if you're already saved, once saved, always saved, you don't need to rededicate your life back to God. Therefore, there is no such thing. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. In this season, the devil is doing all he can to strip the church of the altar. That's what that's about. That's all about. In this season, the devil is doing all he can to strip the church of the altar and keep God's people from receiving the benefits Jesus put in place beforehand for us at the altar. But that devil lied. Again, that devil lied. In tonight's text, as the woman caught in the act of adultery stood before Jesus, with all the cares of the world on her, what she was really doing was standing at the altar. What she was really doing was standing at the altar, giving her heart back to Jesus. Because notice this, she knew who he was. She knew who he was, and she referred to him as Lord in John 8:10. So you can't tell me some of your unsaved loved ones don't know the Lord. They do. They do. It just takes a lot for them to acknowledge him. But she knew the Lord. She called him Lord. Therefore, she was standing before the altar, giving her heart back to Jesus. She even said in Scripture, when he asked her, did anybody condemn her? She said, no one, Lord. She called him Lord. So what was she really doing? She was getting the forgiveness she needed. So what was she really doing? She was getting the forgiveness she needed, the deliverance she needed, the healing she needed, the release she needed. Why? Because she had been playing dress up like many of us, but now she had been made to come before Jesus. She had been made to come before Jesus. She had been forced to come clean. Why? Because she had given her body to everybody else. She had been giving her body to everybody else, but now she was ready to humble herself and give her heart back to Jesus. Why? Because he's Jesus and he's the real deal. Because he's Jesus and he's the real deal. Somebody tonight, if you know that he's the real deal, if you know tonight that he's the real deal and you need to come to the altar, this is your online church. Tonight, if you know that Jesus is the real deal and you need to come to the altar, this is your online church. I'm going to pause a few moments to give you a chance to get your heart together. Then we're going to collectively bring the issues that have been hindering our lives, hindering our progress to Jesus. We're going to bring it all to Jesus tonight. We're going to bring that sin, that heaviness, that burden to Jesus. Whatever it is, we're going to bring it to Jesus tonight. I'm going to pause. Everybody, get your heart together. Get your heart ready. This is a serious moment. Get your heart ready. I hope your hearts are ready. I need you to know that tonight I'm not going to open the phone line, not tonight, because I don't want to embarrass anybody the way the scribes and Pharisees embarrassed that woman in tonight's text, busting her out like that with a crowd of people listening and looking at her. They bust her out in the text with a crowd of people listening and looking at her. We're not doing that tonight. So if you're listening, just to see if somebody will openly admit to any of the sin that was exposed here on Prolific Fire tonight, guess what? You can hang up the phone, get off the podcast, stop listening to iTunes, because that's not going to happen tonight. Remember, there's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3:1 NIV. And tonight is not the time or the place. This is a serious moment, and I'm not trying to embarrass nobody. I'm just trying to help you get it right. We need to get it right together. Now, if you want to reach out to me privately, that's a different story. And I will tell you how to do that later. Again, everybody, get your heart together. This is a serious moment. All I want you to do is repeat after me and mean it from your heart now. Repeat after me. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you tonight as humbly as we know how, placing our hearts and our bodies, all the issues of our lives on the altar. We give you that sin, that temptation that has overtaken us. We call it out by name. Adultery, we call you out. Fornication, we call you out. Masturbation, we call you out. Prostitution, we call you out. Homosexuality, we call you out. Drugs and alcohol, we call you out. Somebody, you're addicted to pornography, we call you out. Smoking cigarettes, nicotine, we call you out. Depression, we call you out. Self-hatred, we call you out. Low self-esteem, we call you out. The spirit of rejection, we call you out. Guilt, shame, fear, and torment, we call you out. Bulimia, we call you out. Anorexia, we call you out. Schizophrenic spirit, delusional spirits, we call you out. All suicidal spirits, thoughts, etc., we call you out. You shall live and not die. Somebody, you shall live and not die. We give you the heaviness. We give you the heaviness, the brokenness, the mistrust that we feel. Father, we give it to you tonight. Friends, we call you out. Broken heart, we call you out. Husband or wife issues, we call you out. Job-related issues with the boss, the co-workers, we call you out. Family issues, generational curses, we call you out. Deliver, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Deliver attitudes. Deliver backbiting spirits, etc. Deliver, Father, tonight, Father. Heal cancer. Heal AIDS. Heal diabetes. Heal blood pressure, high blood pressure, low blood pressure. Heal joints, limbs, broken hearts, minds, and lives tonight. Heal marriages. Heal relationships. Heal what religion has done to somebody's heart. Heal what religion has done to somebody's heart. Heal church hurt. Heal somebody's child tonight. Heal somebody's childish ways tonight. We refuse to continue playing dress up for people, in front of people. We continue to seek you long after tonight. We continue to seek you because we refuse to stay as we were. We refuse to continue playing dress up for people, in front of people tonight. We come to you collectively. Collectively, we give our hearts back to Jesus. Whatever it is, and you want it on the altar tonight, call it out. Maybe I didn't call it out because God didn't give it to me, but whatever it is, and you want it on the altar tonight before him, call it out. Call it out. It's not too late. Call it out. God is listening. Right here on Polyphic Fire, God is listening. Call it out. Call it out. Call it out. Be forgiven. Be delivered. Be healed. Be released. Go, and from now on, sin no more. Carry that heaviness, that burden no more. Somebody carry that heaviness, that burden no more. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you need to DM me on Twitter, you can do so at Prolific Fire. If you need to DM me on Instagram, you can do so at Prophet Stacy. Or you can call or text me directly at 865-408-8690. Again, that's 865-408-8690, or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com. That's prolificfire@gmail.com. Like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook page. Everybody under the sound of our voice, be sure to join us for prayer and encouragement on Faith on the Line with Prophet Faith this Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, Friday night, by calling the number that many of you called tonight, 347-426-3782. 347-426-3782. The phone lines will be open to pray with you if you desire on that night. then be sure to join me back here on For Living Fire. Same night, time, and place where the message will be. You can't keep running. The message for next Monday will be, you can't keep running. Somebody, I pray that you were blessed by tonight, that you got what you needed from tonight, and that you would never be ashamed again. Setting up in church on Sunday morning, whatever you've been dealing with that week or that month or whenever, you can take it to the altar. And I'll say it again, if you're in a place in a church where they don't do altar calls or you don't feel comfortable because the leadership doesn't make you feel comfortable, they got things out of order and they call it things out of order and they putting too much of your business out there in the public setting, you're at the wrong church, because God does things decent and in order. Hear me, decent and in order. Once again, I pray that you receive something tonight. If you need me, reach out to me. No problem. I don't mind. Again, join me this Monday when the message will be, you can't keep running. That's a word for somebody. You can't keep running. And for those of you that may be new to For Living Fire, you need to know that the vision statement for For Living Fire is For Living Fire Ministry, seeking to help you where you hurt, which simply means that we deal with real issues. That's why I get real every week, because we deal with real issues using the Bible as a reference. Using the Bible as a reference.
Once again, everybody, thank you for taking the time to join me tonight. Thank you so much. I pray that you receive something. Receive something. Keep believing in God, and I will see you hopefully on Friday night for prayer, and then back here on Monday. Until then, have a good night, everybody. I'm out.